"May you live in interesting times" is an English expression purported to be a translation of a traditional Chinese curse. Despite being so common in English as to be known as the Chinese curse, the saying is apocryphal and no actual Chinese source has ever been produced. We live in interesting times, don't we? I'm your host, Mike Powers, here to introduce you to a new series of messages on the Transformed podcast that have been ripped right out of the recent headlines. With the Supreme Court's decision in the Obergefell versus Hodges same-sex marriage case, Christ followers have been reevaluating what has become of the home they so dearly love, the United States of America. In today's first installment of this three-part series, Dr. Smith talks to us about what we, the Church, will have to do if we are to bring about lasting change in our nation. Let's join him as he explains three key actions every believer of Jesus needs to live out as our culture crumbles.
Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, we pray today that as we open the Word, that we would be impacted. And Father, that we would make choices. That we would no longer live according to the ways of the world, but we would live in a way that would glorify you and lift up your name and honor you. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I want to, for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be here and I'm going to talk about a subject that's so important right now. It's called What Now? And this week I'm going to talk about when the culture crumbles, as we've been watching it happen around us. And next week I'm going to talk about we will stand firm with Jesus, even when the culture crumbles. But then in my last message with you, on the 9th, I'm going to talk about fulfilling the Great Commission of Jesus. What does that really mean? And how can you and I be a part of that? But today I want to start off with this this quote you're probably real familiar with. Some have said that it's a Chinese comment. It's not. But the toast is, may you live in interesting times. And truly, no one's lived in more interesting times than we have, except the first century. You and I, every day, the world we wake up into is different from the world we went to bed in. Sometimes you don't even notice, but you might have wondered if you switched countries. My friend Steve Camp was talking about this, and he was talking about the nation, our nation, when it is in spiritual and moral decline. And he just banged off 12 quick statements. Just listen. He talked about the dissemination of the family. We're just destroying the family. He talked about killing unborn children. He talked about the normalization of the homosexual lifestyle. He talked about the rule of law abandoned. Isn't that interesting that we don't have to obey the law? Well, some people don't have to obey the law. You have to, and I have to, but some people don't have to. Have you noticed that? That always bothers me. The rule of faith has abated. We don't use faith anymore. We don't talk about faith. We kind of toss the Bible out. There's an utter disrespect for authority. We find that there's an absence of conscience to discern right and wrong. I'm amazed at the number of people when just don't even think about doing the right thing anymore biblically. They don't have, my mom used to say, common sense is not so common anymore. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's just kind of a strange place we live in. The Bible is shunned and it's becoming hate speech. That's kind of scary. He talked about God has been removed from the public discourse. And then he talked about the gospel proclamation. You can't declare Jesus anymore. And then the worship is waning or fading. Look around. The empty seats. It's far more fun to go to Disneyland or the river than it is to be righteous. And then lastly, he talked about evil is called good and good is called evil. Just some of the things he was talking about the decline of our country. You probably felt the earthquake on June 26th of this year, 2015, when the Supreme Court decided that they're going to rewrite civilization's laws concerning marriage. And I got the impression, as I listened to a lot of my Christian friends, that one of the things that happened on that day was that a lot of Christ followers actually realized that that maybe the world is not their home. A lot of Christians were very comfortable in America until June 26th. And they began to realize what's happening in our society. And you and I have to understand that we have to, I think this is a good thing. I think it's a good thing when we wake up and say, this isn't our home. Americans have been privileged. We live unlike anybody else on the planet. And you know, if you've come from somewhere else to live here, you know what I'm talking about. Or if you've went from here to somewhere else to do anything. My friends talk about always going to Jamaica and Belize down in the Caribbean. And I always get a tickle out of that because when you pull in on that great big ship, you don't see the real world. You just see the Disneyfication of the world there. But if you just get off the boat and get on a taxi and go to someone's house that you might have a relative or a friend living there, you realize that the storefront or the seaport's a lot different than the real world that they live in. But you can drive anywhere in America and find great prosperity. And we have been comfortable for too long. And some of us, in our comfort, have forgotten about heaven. We kind of moved away. So the question that I want to ask today is, what now? And another question alongside, how do we reverse this decline? How do we stop this slide? Anybody been on one of the big slides at the park? Remember when the heat went up, you stopped? Do you remember that? I won't go into the graphics because if you've done it, you know what I'm talking about. I think that's where hot cross buns comes from. But there I was stuck on that. When the heat rises, the decline stops. But you notice that the heat has not risen anymore in America. It's not a shame to be in sin. And that starts with us. We have some things that we have to deal with. You see, God has given a minority of people in our country over the influence over our country. Did you know that the CDC says that the percentage of Americans that are gay or lesbian is 1.8%? Write it down somewhere. CDC numbers, 1.8%. Now, we're a lot more than that. We're just not very vocal in our country anymore. Have you noticed? We lost our influence. So I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1 with me, and let's talk about what in the world can we do to stop the slide, to reverse the trend. The Bible talks about this, and by the way, please don't propagate the foolishness that if Jesus doesn't come soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Please. The first century was much worse than we live in. We live in a God-fearing nation compared to the first century. The first century was horrific. And we'll talk more about that along the way. But in the process, what do you have to do? Would you read from the screen with me? Follow along in your copy of the Word of God, but read from the screen so we're all reading the same version. Would you just read with me? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Let's just read the underlined portion again. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, why are we not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Paul finishes the idea in verse 17. Read it with me. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live
by faith.
But you know, there's the problem. The just need to live by faith. I need to live by faith. You need to live by faith. Do you remember what this faith is like? A lot of us have forgotten what faith is like. Faith is that stuff, that power that redeems us, that transforms us, that changes us. Do you remember when you came to Christ? This is where it starts. Have you seen some of those false gospels running around lately? You don't have to surrender to Jesus. Well, listen, if he's God, you're not, right? If he's God, I'm not. And if I don't have to surrender to him, he's not God. But where it starts there is the love and leadership of Jesus Christ. When He's in charge, we enjoy amazing love. Despite all our past anger and all our past hatreds. And we overflow with joy despite circumstances and situations. Have you noticed Christians are just like worldlings these days? Things go bad. They don't like something. Complain. Where in the world? That's not Christianity, folks. That's just a pagan wrapped in something that's false called Christianity. That's not true. It's from the inside. Any of you remember those candies? See, I like Twix and $1,000 bars and... Okay, got some of you real hungry now. Kit Kats. But you see, I like the stuff inside. I like the stuff inside. Want to know why we're in trouble? The stuff inside ain't very pretty these days. The transformative power of Jesus Christ is the beauty of Christ, the faith. And you and I are to demonstrate that and to shine through that. We're to possess this incredible peace. The world is sliding into the last days. And you ought not be Chicken Little going, "Ah!" The world is coming to an end. And we happen to know the guy who's wrapping it up. Or do we? There's the question. It's about this faith. And we ought to have more patience now than ever. We ought to be able to express it. On the 7:10. On the 10. We ought not be... Did you see the video on Facebook the other day of the guy who got mad at the old guy that got mad at the young guy on the motorcycle, and he chased him down and he started beating on him? Did you see that? Okay, I know Christians like that. Well, Christians in quotes. That's not us. We're patient. You know, those guys are just hurrying. Those people on the freeway, they're just hurrying to their own accident. Don't go with them. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, we could go on and on talking about what faith does. It transforms us. It changes us. Do you remember what Jesus said? Let's read this together. And read with me. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the salt. You're the salt. Some of you like too much salt, right? That's why you have high blood pressure, and your doctor's already talked to you about that. We could use a little high blood pressure in America right now. Listen, it's all about you and I. We need to get out there and flavor stuff. I'm going to talk about how in a minute. We need to flavor stuff. Jesus went on. Read on with me. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You're the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. So what do you do with that? Read on with me as Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let your light shine. You're the light. Salt up things. You're the salt. That means you're going to have to get involved. We can't hide in our houses. We've got to have to speak up. We're going to have to talk it up. In other words, then, what I'm saying, if you're going to fill in the blanks with me, the first thing that we have to do is that we have to stop being ashamed of the gospel. And you say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." We're ashamed. I know you are, because at times I am. You could say something, but you choose not to. Your family goes a little crazy, and you want to say something about Jesus, but you know what happened the last time you did that? They practically ripped your head off. And so you don't. Stop being ashamed. When they can't deal with it, just take the fruit of the Spirit and have so much fun with it. When they're just angry, saying, "You know, Jesus could replace that hate with love." When they're scared spitless and they don't know what to do, say, "You know, Jesus could give you peace if you just let Him." Remember, they're empty. They're empty. When they're constantly moping around in depression, say, you know, you could get some real joy in life if you just surrender to Jesus. When they can't stand it, get over here, 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 get over here. Jesus gives patience. It's pretty clear you need some. I think everybody knows about your mother. Jesus gives us kindness, and trust me, what I just heard isn't it. We got to stop being ashamed of the gospel. We need to talk about how Jesus Christ changes our lives. Now, if we're not changed, that's another issue. Then we might have to worry about our faith. We live in a society where the church has surrendered to being in a little building. Instead of being out there talking it up. Well, where did Jesus spend most of his time? Out there, not in here. Where do we spend most of our time in our faith? In here, not out there. And then we wonder why things don't work. I'm one of those guys, I always try to figure out why things don't work. It's real simple. We need to stop being ashamed. Stop being ashamed. Stop being ashamed. Now, one of the things that we find out is that our culture clearly works to suppress the truth of lifestyle. Would you read with me, please, as we continue in the book of Romans? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. Here it is. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what they may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Everywhere you go, you need to understand that God's already given a witness. And the people who yell about it the most, there's no God, have the greatest witness. I've been praying for some time for Dawkins to come to faith in Christ. Recently, he had to admit that he doesn't know if there is or isn't a God. He had to admit that. Yes, he's moving. He's moving across. Listen, it says right here, all they do is suppress the truth. It doesn't mean that they don't know the truth. It means they know it and they don't want it to be there. So if you're filling in the blanks, you'll want to put in that blank. Suppress the truth. That's what culture does. It suppresses the truth. 1.8% of America is gay or lesbian. 1.8. You listen to people as they just interview people, people will guess 20, 30, 40, 50, 60% of America is gay. 1.8%. We lost this battle. We lost this battle. But we can bring revival. But we've got to stop being ashamed of the truth. In fact, we read a little further in Romans as he continues to talk about it. Would you read with me? For since the creation of the world, that's a long time ago, 6,000 years ago, in case you're curious. His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Can I just ask a question? How many of you went to bed last night knowing the sun would come up this morning? Evidence of creation. See, if it was all random and chaotic, the earth would be hurtling across space. But it's not. It's staying in a very, very specific orbit. In fact, we can even tell you a month, a year ahead of time, what time the sun's going to rise, what time it's going to set in any given location in America or the world. Talk about precision. But we just want to suppress that. It's pure chaos, pure accident. This all just happened. By the way, inside of us, as we continue to dig inside our bodies, have you noticed they continue to tell us more and more about the incredibly intricate way we are made? All the parts work together. Even when you're sick, the body's working together to repel the sickness. Amazing stuff God created. Let's finish up this part of it. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, And their foolish hearts were darkened. How did they get to this place where they believe there's no God? Did you see that? Their hearts became darkened. How? Well, you just back up. Their thoughts became worthless. How did their thoughts become worthless? Because they were not thankful. And why were they not thankful? Because they did not glorify God even when they knew Him. Now, we've only been around for a few years in America, right? A couple hundred years. Founded on biblical principle. Founded on Christian truth. And we knew that. And then a generation comes along who doesn't want to know that. Now, we all have to admit, sin's a lot more fun than righteousness in the short term. Who doesn't want to go out for lunch and eat a bucket of ice cream instead of vegetables? I'm telling you, yep, it's a lot of fun. And then this afternoon, who's more right? The people who ate the good food or the people who ate the bucket of ice cream? Ooh. And then tomorrow morning when you step on the scale, oh, I'm going to make my pants a little bigger here. And all of a sudden we're wearing stretch pants to work as we've been suppressing the truth. That's what's happened. And you and I, we didn't keep saying, you know, you're just going to get fatter. You're going to get high cholesterol. You're going to be in trouble medically. That's what we've happened to our nation. As they continue to say, I'm going to do it my way. Remember Frank Sinatra, the theme song for all sinners? I did it my way. What happened to Frank? He died. And then he faced the judgment. Just like we will die. And we will face the judgment. Now look at how Paul wraps this up. Would you just read with me verse 23? Read it with me. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Stop. That's an insult. Unless you catch on that it's just a statement of fact. Do you know people who are wise who are just fools? Look. Oh, by the way. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, so they became fools. Read with me. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man of birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Do you not see in this verse that Paul was telling you some moron's going to come along and say we climbed out of the water, creeping things, and became a four-footed animal, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. They didn't glorify God. You see, that's the problem, is that as our salt and light influence gets smaller, as we choose not to speak up for Jesus, people not only suppress the truth, but we refuse to express the truth. If you and I are going to do what's right, we've got to stop being ashamed of the gospel, and we need to express the truth all the time. We need to get our mouths going. You can't live the faith silently. I'm sorry. I heard that lie for 40 years. You can't live the faith quietly. Imagine if Jesus would have never said a word. We'd all be in hell. Our destiny would be eternal damnation. You can't live the faith without expressing the faith. Now, you've got to have some stuff, transformation behind it, or people are going to call us hypocrites. But we have to express the truth. And that means that, number two, we need to glorify God in public. Has God done anything for you? That's the question this morning. Has God done anything for you? Yes or no? Yes. What? Now you see, that's the problem, is when we get to the what, we usually talk about heaven. Didn't He do anything else? Well, that's cool. I'm all for heaven. Trust me. How many vote heaven is better than hell? Can I just see your hands? The rest of you get to go the other place, okay? No, just I mean, it's a vote. It's a Baptist church, you've got to have a vote. There, you had your vote today, okay? Now listen, I need to tell people how Jesus Christ changed my life and how He changes my life on a daily basis. I'm going to have to read up on the Bible. I'm going to have to read up on science. I'm going to have to figure out how in the world I put those two things together. I'm going to have to speak up. I'm going to have to declare truth. I'm going to have to debunk myth. And by the way, there's a lot of science out there that's just pure myth. It's built on assumptions. And if you're building stuff on assumptions, that means you get out on smaller and smaller and smaller limbs until pretty soon you're standing on leaves. That's where we are in science a lot of times. Where are the truth? And we need to pray up. Hearts aren't changed by facts. Hearts are changed by the supernatural movement of God through the Holy Spirit. You need to pray. Pray for your family. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for the people in school around you. You need to pray for our community. Pray for this nation. You need to pray more, pray more, pray more. Ask God to move. And we need to care up. People aren't the enemy. They are trapped. And we need to wrap our love around these people. The good, the bad, the ugly. We need to love our enemies. And pray for those who despitefully use us. We need to wake up. We really do as the church. We need to wake up. We need to stop thinking, oh my goodness, Jesus ought to do it all for me. Jesus already did it all for us, right? He already did it all for us. The legalization of same-sex marriage was just the first step. This is a slide that's going fast now. They're going to go, 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 go. There's so many. I was shocked as I read. Just listen to this. This is Felix Salmon, an LGBT activist and liberal journalist, said this month, "For all that the U.S. Constitution mandates the separation of church and state, the two do overlap in quite a few areas." We've been saying that for a couple centuries. "Just look at your currency with its slogan, 'In God We Trust.' One of those areas is taxation. The U.S. government subsidizes churches to the tune of many billions of dollars per year by giving them tax-exempt status. It's important to note that the tax exemption for churches and other religious organizations is not embedded in the Constitution. The First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion, but not as free as in love, but free as in beer. Taxation is purely a secular affair, and by default, it applies to everybody equally, whether they're a religious institution or not. It would be unconstitutional to single out religious institutions and make them pay more tax than anybody else, but the government has every right to stop giving them special tax-free privilege." I told you, this is where it's going. We need to be ready for it. We need to be ready for the onslaught against us. And I want to remind you again what Jesus said. Would you read it with me one more time, please? "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing." There's our problem. "But to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." There it is. That's what Jesus said when he said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all." But we're under a basket. Look at, here's the basket. It's called a building. The first century didn't use buildings. Guess what? Light everywhere. Salt everywhere. Have you been down there at Manuel's? And on the table they have the condiments. You're the condiments on the table of life. When do the condiments become effective? When you shake them out and put them in the food of life. You and I are the condiments. You and I. Our task is to daily to glorify God with our mouth, in public, with those who don't believe. You don't have to cram it down their throat. You don't have to dump the whole load on them. You just need to talk about Jesus, the person who's really the part of your life all day long. And in doing that, we bring transformation to people. Now listen, this is how Paul begins to wrap up this. He says, when we're not the salt and the light, read with me. "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. See that? God gave them up. Did you see that? We watched that happen. We've watched that happen. Some of us are old enough. We've watched this happen several times. The Supreme Court seems to just... okay. And we lose another faith-based reality. That's not the society. That's God saying, fine. You see, there's a consequence to sin. You and I have to speak up. Declare faith. If this is going to stop, we're going to have to put Jesus back in main view. This uncleanness, of course, is just any kind of sex we want. You know it. You've seen it. It's everywhere. You can't even watch commercials on TV anymore without seeing it. Look at where he goes. Next part of the verse. Verse 26 and 27. Oh, verse 24. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Circle those two words in your notes. The lie is evolution. That's what the lie is. And worshipped and served the creature, there it is, rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Paul goes a little further. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up. There it is again. You see, as soon as evolution becomes the worship, God gives them up. Now what happens? As my wife says all the time, this is just the natural reality. What we're seeing today is just the natural result of believing you came from a monkey. What is it the Bible says? Paul said, to vile passions. What are they? For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Next verse. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is... there it is. And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Paul says, church, this is what happens. This was the world that Paul lived in the first century. This was the Roman world, the Greek world. And he said it was because they simply walked away from God. But the church was ashamed of the gospel. How did they change the world? Do you remember the people who've turned the world upside down have come here too? How did they turn the world upside down? They weren't ashamed of the gospel. They expressed the truth. They didn't suppress it. They glorified God in public. And what else did they do? Number three, they purified their lifestyle. They stopped all the sexual sin. Guys, ladies, no more porn. Not even on the internet. It's got to go. It's got to go. Men, you got to stop looking at a woman when she walks by. Every time you do, you just said, I'm having sex with her. That's called adultery. Jesus said a man looks at his heart with the lust in it. He has committed adultery already. We got to stop that. Ladies, same thing for you. Enough of that. Ooh, doesn't he look good? Ooh. That's just adultery. Fornication. We've got to clean it up. You see, we've got to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. We've got to take that amazing love, that overflowing joy, that incredible peace, that patience that passes all understanding, that unnatural kindness when people are so nasty to us. We need to do good to the people near us. I'm thinking about all the homes right around this church building. And I was wondering if anybody knew 10 names of 10 families that live within one block of this building. We got to do good to the people around us. We need to remain loyal to our families, our spouses, and our commitments. We need to speak words of gentleness and kindness to people. You see, we choose to work with the Spirit of God, choose to be transformed, but we need to choose to speak up. We need to choose to talk up Jesus. Paul said, if we don't, this is what's next. So in your Bible, next to verse 28 through 32, just write in the margin, what's next for America if I don't do my part? Here it is. Read with me. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Can you catch the uns there? Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, listen, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's America in 20 years. You can see it already in seed form. The question is for you this morning is very simple. What shall it be? What's the America in 20 years? What's coming next? Pedophilia as law. Polygamy as law. Bestiality as law. And Christians, hate speech, to declare any of it sin. Or we can choose. We can choose to speak up. We can choose to not be ashamed of Jesus. Will it cost us? Yes. Is it worth it? Think about your children. Think about your grandchildren. Now don't play the Jesus is coming soon card. I was saying that in 1976, 40 years ago. Guess what? Soon? Paul was saying Jesus is coming soon, 2,000 years ago. God's soon and my soon are a little different. Have you noticed? Have you noticed whenever you need it, something really bad, God's timing's not your timing? He's on a plan. So what's it going to be? Shame or pleasure in the gospel? What's it going to be? Silence or glorifying God in public? What's it going to be? Sensuality or purity in our lifestyle? These three simple choices can literally change your office, change your family, and begin to change America. Next week, I'm going to continue this, and I'm going to talk about we will stand firm. We will stand firm. As Christ followers, we will stand firm. But we have to do more than just talk. We have to have a strategy. And I'm going to give you a strategy next week for how in the world do we stand firm when all of hell seems to be winning. You won't want to miss it. Bring some friends. Would you pray with me, please? Father, right now we just stop and give you glory for the story that you're working in our lives. And we're mindful that you and you alone can change lives. You have and you are changing ours. We are being made into the glory of Jesus every day as we plunge in the Word of God and we declare our faith to others. I pray that each man and woman in the sound of my voice would take courage to know that they, too, can do something great for God. All they need to do is stop being ashamed of the gospel. All they need to do is glorify God in public. And all they need to do is clean up their lifestyle. Anywhere the Spirit of God speaks. And Lord, we will begin to become the salt and the light in a very decadent society. And Lord, it is my prayer that we even stop the destruction of America by seeing revival again. Lord, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
And with that, Dr. Smith wraps up this timely and challenging message from the Word of God. It is our sincere hope and prayer that you will choose to flesh out the words of the Bible in your daily life as a result of listening today. Would you help us spread the word? Could you take just a moment and contact a friend and share the link to this message and encourage them to listen as well? Thank you. Christmas is right around the corner. With Christmas only a couple of months away, we know you would like to get your shopping done early and give a meaningful gift this year to the ones you love. Dr. Matthew Lee Smith has written two daily devotionals that cover every day of the coming year, allowing you to give the gift that keeps on giving, God's Word and His encouragement in the lives of your family and friends. In His Presence is a detailed look at walking with God through life's ups and downs, built around the premise that God welcomes you into His presence with joy and pleasure. In His Presence helps you see that the life of abundance can only be enjoyed when we take everything to the Lord and walk every day at His right hand. In His Image explores God's great love for humanity in every book of the Bible, from the creation of Genesis to the culmination in Revelation. God's love shines through every page. Never is this ever clearer than in the times of Israel's great betrayal of their God. His passionate pursuit of His children can be heard dripping from His voice as He calls them, and us by proxy, back to His shelter and protection. You can order a copy of In His Image or In His Presence from Amazon at the Eagles and Leadership website by clicking the appropriate link on the right-hand side panel on the Eagles and Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live in Commerce, California at the First Baptist Church and edited by Melody Smith in La Puente, California. And now until next time, we're praying that you would be filled with the hope of God so that you can stand firm in the midst of our crumbling culture.